Well, good morning, guys. How's everyone doing? We've been talking about the prophetic for a while now, haven't we? So you guys ready to move on? Some of you guys are excited that we're talking about the prophetic this morning. Some of you guys are excited because we're going to move on after this. But that's all right. We love the prophetic. We are going to continue to talk about the prophetic, from this point on. I mean, we're this past, I don't know, I guess it's been really quarter. We've been reestablishing the prophetic in our church and going through what we usually do, a prophetic training. We do it every couple of years. And a lot of times we'll actually hold workshops here at this church, or we'll go out and we'll do workshops, equipping people to hear God's voice. That's our DNA. That's what we are called to do. We're Morningstar Church. And when you talk to people who actually heard of Morningstar, the first thing to think of is the prophetic. And we're called to that. That is one of the major purposes that God has us for this church here in Wilmington. We're called to equip the church in the prophetic gift. And we're called to do it in a way that's balanced, that's healthy, that is demystifying. Because a lot of times when people hear about the prophetic, they talk about the prophetic, you know, only the elite can prophesy. Only the guy with the big beard and, you know, the staff can prophesy, or only the special. But, you know, that's completely unbiblical. You may all prophesy one at a time, right? And we're here to, like, remove any hindrances from people hearing God's voice and being able to minister in a healthy way. Because a lot of times, a lot of people have been wounded by the prophetic, and they have this knee-jerk reaction now when you talk about about prophetic or a prophecy or whatever, of like, oh, no, I don't want to hear that. I don't believe in the prophetic anymore. I was wounded by it. And we need to kind of get past that. Now, to be honest, there have been people, I've talked to many, that have been legitimately wounded by the prophetic gift. And we want to move beyond that. We want to mature in the prophetic gift. We can't just throw it out just because some people ran around and were hurting people with it, you know? That's what we're called to do. We are going to be a body that is equipping the bigger body to hear God's voice in a healthy way. Because healthy prophetic ministry promotes real godly relationship with one another, and ultimately intimate relationship with the Lord, right? It's relationship 101. I'm going to be going through a lot of this stuff. I'm trying to round this whole past quarter up this morning. And one thing I do want to review a little bit. If you guys weren't here last week, and you didn't hear, or you didn't hear the podcast, I really encourage you guys to listen to it. Josh spoke awesome message on the prophetic, on the gifts, on where we actually prophesy from, how we prophesy. It was awesome. And we're going to continue to talk about that, because people have been wounded with the prophetic, and we need to kind of unlearn maybe ways we've learned how to prophesy in the past, or unlearn from, or really learn from our mistakes from the past. We're going to emphasize this. Let's turn to Matthew 3:16. Travis shared this last week, and we've been sharing this scripture probably for years, because this is where we ultimately minister from. This is the place where we actually do ministry. Okay, so Matthew 3:16-17 says, "As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" All right, this is a powerful scripture right here. So at this point in Jesus' ministry, like we talked about last week, Jesus has not done really anything. He has done no miracles. He's like not really made a name for himself. He hasn't really healed people that we know of. He hasn't really done anything. And the Father is affirming his love for him based on one thing, because he's his son. Okay? So this is, and we, this is a perfect example. Jesus did this on purpose. The Father did this on purpose, because we, this is a complete mirror of like how we are supposed to operate in our relationship with God. We are first and foremost sons and daughters, and we are loved because of that. We're not loved by what we do. We're not loved by what we don't do, the how many sins we've done, how many sins we haven't done. It's not based on any of those things. And the reason why we're talking about this, because a lot of times, you know, Josh talked about it last week, is sometimes we think that if we do a lot of stuff, if we walk in the prophetic, if we walk in the gifts of power, that God's going to love us more, that people are going to like us more, that our identity gets all wrapped up in that, and it is unhealthy, and you will end up wounding people. And the gift will be unhealthy. Does that make sense? Because you're going to be motivated by the gifts and by like wowing people and by like trying to gain your affection from God when you've already got it. And when we pursue the gift in that regard, we will always wound people and we'll end up in the worst place from where we started. So we always start from the place of like, I am a son, I am loved, and I can't do anything to change that. I can't prophesy enough for God to love me even a teeny tiny bit more. He's not going to be well pleased with me. He's not going to be proud of me. If I do like, if I raise 10,000 people from the dead, I can't change this truth, this law that he loves me based on me being his son, or you being his daughter, if you're a girl. Does that make sense? We are going to hammer this thing, because the enemy will come around. He will. He just does this because he does not want the gifts. He does not want power to be coming from you. He does not want you to be destroying the works of the enemy. So he's going to come in here and he's saying, wow, you just gave that awesome word. Man, God, he loves you so much because you gave him that word. Wow, look at how people are looking at you. Look how people are responding to you because of this gift that you have, or this gift that you're operating in. It's going to come. It just does. Because he wants to sidetrack you. He wants you to like operate outside of the law that you are loved because you're a son and daughter. And God is proud of you because of that. Does that make sense? All right. So we don't gain love and acceptance from God by operating in the gifts. Our value, we value the gifts. We love the gifts. The Bible says to earnestly desire the gifts, to like actually, and you know, Travis has been talking about, to actually lust after them. I mean, hunger for them. Okay. We value the gifts, but our value is not defined by them. Our value is based solely on how much someone is willing to pay for us. Does that make sense? And how much did God pay for us? His own son, right? He laid down everything. That is our value, is based on that. So our value isn't based on gifts. Our value isn't based on what we can do for God. And so we don't get our identity from what we do. Our identity is based on who our Father is. So as Josh was talking about last week, when things get twisted, when we start operating from a place of trying to gain approval from man and God with our gifts, a lot of times we will wound other people. And when we see this taking place, and we're part of a church where this is kind of operating, because there are churches right now that are operating in this way, and it's, and we pray for them, we want to help them, but they're just immature in the giftings, and that's okay. We're all growing, you know. But a lot of times, and some of us, a lot of us have been part of this, And we have a knee-jerk reaction now when it comes to the prophetic, or when it comes to healing, or it comes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's like we kind of shy away from it because we're like, no, I don't want to be like how it was at this church, or how this person operated, or this guy gave me a prophetic word and it was really weird, and he was telling, and we have this knee-jerk reaction, and we go into this other side of the ditch. Okay, you know. So the path of life, there's two ditches on the either side of the path of life, right? Thanks, man. Look at that. So there's the path of life, right? And there's two ditches on the side, on the path of life. We want to be walking down this, because the Lord is walking down this road right here, okay? Now, a lot of times we've experienced like an unhealthy, I'll just say moving in the gifts, where our motivation is, and you know what? A lot of times, most of us start out here. I mean, just because of our immaturity. I mean, we're babies in Christ. We're wowed by like the awesome power gifts. We're wowed at seeing people cry because you said some word to them. I mean, I'm just being honest here. Like, a lot of us start out here. We start out in this ditch, okay? And sometimes, and as we grow and as we walk with the Lord, he's walking us into that balance, okay? Now, this other side of the ditch is love without power, which is kind of an oxymoron. You can't really, God's love is power. God's power is love. But there's an idea that like when we get wounded from unhealthy moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, unhealthy, or we get wounded by somebody giving us some weird, crazy word, our knee-jerk reaction, the reaction of our flesh, is to go in this other side of the ditch. We're like, nope, I'm just going to throw it. We don't need the gifts. All we need is love. We just need love. We don't need the power. We don't need the Holy Spirit. All we need is love, because love is everything. And this is not biblical. Okay, this idea is not biblical. Like I said before, God's power and his love are, you can't separate the two. I had an encounter with the love of God at one point in my life, and it was scary how powerful it was. So you can't separate the two, okay? And but there's an idea that the enemy comes and says, oh, you don't need that stuff. Look what they did when they operated in the gifts. All you really need is love, okay? And I'm going to go as far as sometimes this can actually become like a secular humanistic idea, where all you need is this humanistic love for one another. But God's love, agape love, is very different from Eros love. Okay? So anyway, we are wanting to walk down this balance where we are walking in the love of God, where we have compassion for the people that God has placed around us, that he's called us to minister to, that we love them with his love, and we have a heart for them. We want to see them succeed. We want to see them grow. We want to see them walking in intimate relationship with him, and we're doing it empowered by the Holy Spirit with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're walking down this path of life. This is the road the Lord's walking down, okay? So we need both. And I'm talking about this because we have to talk about this every time we talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because everybody's been wounded with somebody running around. Because like the gifts of the Holy Spirit are powerful. They're like a sword, you know? And you go running around with a sword, you're going to cut somebody if you don't know what you're doing. And, you know, the Lord doesn't want us to like just completely throw out all the things that he's made available for us to bring the kingdom of God, to change the world around us, to change our community. Does that make sense? Okay, cool. We're gonna continue to talk about this stuff because whatever, I need to hear it over and over again. We all need to hear it over and over again. We are moving, we prophesy and we move based solely on being loved by our Father. All right. So now we're going to talk about a little bit about how we prophesy in a healthy community and do's and don'ts. This is kind of wrap-up portion, because we really do want to be a healthy place. We don't want to see people get wounded with the prophetic gift. We want to grow and mature in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we want to see people set free. We want to see people walking in their calling. We want to see people like encountering God in a healthy way in the midst of our community, right? So there are real practical things that we can do that we've learned. Man, I don't know how long I've been doing this. What, like 15 years, been training people in the prophetic, walking in the prophetic, and we've learned some lessons over the years of like what works practically and what doesn't, what wounds people and what doesn't wound people. We want to get more effective at ministering prophetic words and walking in the gifts of the Holy Spirit for the ultimate goal, because we want to see people be able to receive what God has for them, because he's got awesome, good things for people, you know? And sometimes the way we minister can actually keep people from actually being able to receive. You know what I mean? So we want to be wise and mature and moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So I'm just going to kind of go through this. And these are some practical things when we're actually ministering within our community, within one another at home group or here in this church. And I believe even when we're ministering outside, at you're at work, you know what I mean, or with your family or wherever God's planted you, okay? Number one, always be encouraging. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says that we prophesy to encourage, to exhort, and to comfort. So when we're prophesying to somebody, we always prophesy from this place. If this word doesn't match up with encouragement, comfort, or edification, don't give it. Okay? Number two, it's okay to make mistakes. You're going to miss it sometimes. You just are. Don't give up. Learn from them, right? Because that's how we hear God's voice. The only way, you know, I'm a broken record up here. The only way you're going to learn how to hear God's voice is by stepping out in faith and trying. That's the only way. You can't go to a million prophetic conferences. You can't listen to our teaching on podcasts 20 times in a row. You're not going to prophesy necessarily from that. You're going to be equipped to do it, but you're only going to do it when you actually step out and you keep trying and you keep trying and you keep trying. Oh, that was you, God. Yeah. Oh, wow. It was you, God. Oh, that wasn't you, God. Right? It's real practical. So it's okay to make mistakes. Be humble enough to admit, oh, okay, I missed it there. Okay. You know, I'm sorry I missed it. I'm growing in this. And be humble enough to take correction. Be like, yeah, Paul, that word you gave was not accurate. And it really wasn't that encouraging. We got to be humble with one another. And we want to grow in this thing. We got to be honest with one another, too. The last thing we want to see is to give you guys, you know, equip you guys in this thing, and you guys go out there and you start wounding people and everybody jumps from this ditch to this ditch. Does that make sense? Yeah. All right. So it's okay to make mistakes. It's risk. Oh, faith is spelled risk, right? R-I-S-K. Travis, that's his motto right there, right? And it's the truth. You know, you've got to step out. That's how you learn. Number two, do not prophesy second heaven revelation as truth from the Lord, okay? So sometimes when you're getting prophetic words for somebody or about a situation, God will actually reveal to you what's going on. Does anybody, do you guys know what second heaven revelation even means? So second heaven revelation is really what's kind of going on in the spirit. You guys remember in Daniel when the archangel Michael had to be called in because there were this fighting and these strongholds and all that. That's the second heaven, okay? That's what's going on, the battle that is going on behind the scenes here. That's second heaven, okay? Now God, sometimes when you're asking for a word for something, God will actually give you, like unveil what's kind of going on behind the scenes. Now, I almost never have seen where it's been positive in telling somebody, hey, what the enemy is doing against you, okay? Sometimes, there are times to do it. None of this is like fast, like black and white. There are times when it's okay to be like, yeah, where it's effective to actually minister with it. And really only, let me just say this, my experience has really only been when the person is mature in the Lord and they know this stuff and they know what's going on. Other times, most of the time, it just produces fear in people. Right? When you go up to somebody, you're like, you know what? The devil, he's after you. He's got this thing target on your head. He's going to like, he's trying to destroy you. I mean, I've never seen that really help somebody that is not walking with the Lord or is like immature in their faith. Yeah, exactly. They already know they're getting beat up. They already know they got a target on. So it's like, and in a sense, you're almost reinforcing what the enemy's already trying to do is produce fear. Because that's his major tool. He tries to produce fear. So why does God show us second heaven stuff? Anybody know? Anybody experienced this before? I know you have. Yeah. That's right on. Yes. That's right on. He's showing it to you because he's got something up his sleeve. So whenever I get second heaven revelation, I always ask this question to the Lord. Okay, Lord, that's cool. That's what's going on. Thanks for showing me what's going on behind the scenes. But what are you doing behind the scenes? Because that is what we prophesy. We prophesy what he's doing to counteract the enemy. Okay? Does that make sense? That is, because when we prophesy, when we speak out what God's doing, we're coming in agreement with it, and we actually could be a participant in releasing it into that person's life. Okay? All right. It's our job to deliver and submit the word. Don't pressure anyone to receive. This is important. Don't be like, oh, I got a word from the Lord. And the guy's like, I don't care. I don't want anything to do with that. Like, no, but it's the Lord. That's, you know, first off, you're not operating in love. Second off, whether you give that word to that person or not, they're not going to receive it. You know? So we're not pressuring the gifts of the Holy Spirit onto people. That is not the Lord. That one thing I've learned about the Holy Spirit is he is such a gentleman, actually. He is like, I hate to use the description that he is like he's a dove, because he's not a bird, but he is gentle. He is like a dove, the Bible says, that he's gentle and he's not pushy. Whenever the Holy Spirit is directing or guiding me, he's always inviting me. He's not pressuring me, okay? So we want to operate in the same heart of our Father, okay? That is even sometimes more important than actually the word itself. All right. Let's see. Avoid always sharing the Just give the word you have. Don't add. Don't take away. Don't think you have to have like this huge story behind the prophetic word you've given them that you've gotten from the Lord. Just share what you got. Don't add your own twist to it. Just give the word and let the Lord like take it. Now, if they ask you questions and stuff about it, it's okay to talk about it with them, you know. But it's more like, don't add stuff to what the Lord's given you. All right. Avoid always sharing the revelation as well as the interpretation. Now we talked about the three steps of like hearing God's voice and understanding and recognizing the way he speaks. Now, you know, that first thing when we ask the Lord, Lord, give me something for my friend here. That first picture, that first impression, that first piece that God speaks to you, a lot of times it's like not necessarily for the individual that you're ministering to. It's actually for you. He's talking to you in your language. He's talking to you in your intimate dialogue with him, and he's asked, and in that point we share, hey Lord, okay, I saw this almond tree. What do you want me to say about the almond tree? And then we get the interpretation of it, and that's what we minister to with. Because a lot of times when you give, I don't know if you guys are, I've experienced this a lot, especially when I was first giving words, I'll share with them the initial thing that I got from the Lord, and they kind of just like look at me like, what are you talking about? You know what I mean? Because it wasn't for them, it was for me. Does that make sense? So like, sometimes the initial thing that God gives you is for them though. Like I said, it's not black and white, but in your dialogue with them, Lord, what are you saying here? All I'm seeing is a camel. What do you want me to, a camel? What do you want me to say about a camel? And you don't get anything? Ask the Lord, do you want me just to tell him, hey, I see a camel? talk to him, you know? And he'll say yeah, or he'll say no. And a lot of times, if I don't get anything, I flush it and I move on. I say, okay, Lord, I don't know what you're trying to tell me with that. I don't know, but give me something else. Give me something else to encourage this person, okay? A lot of times we can get stuck on a revelation or like a piece of dialogue that the Lord's given to us for somebody, and we just kind of get stuck there because we're trying to figure it out, okay? If you're not getting anything from the Lord, first off, don't like try to figure it out with your brain. You figure it out in your dialogue with the Lord, okay? And if you're not getting anything from that, just move on. Okay, Lord, I don't know what you're trying to say. I missed it. I don't know, but whatever. Guess what? God's not going to be mad at you. He's not going to be like, well, I gave you one thing. You know, why? You got to work with what I give you. You know, God's not, he's a good father. He's not like that. He's like, man, I've got like thoughts for this person that outnumber the grains of the sands of the whole earth. You know, he's not stingy. It's okay. Ask him. All right. God's heart is for that person you're ministering to get what he's saying more than you want it. Just remember that. All right. There's no need to say, thus saith the Lord. We don't do that anymore. And for time's sake, if you got questions about that, come talk to me about it afterwards. But I'm just going to kind of roll through these because we want to do a little bit of practice this morning. Okay. Never try to pass off natural knowledge as revealed revelation. So don't be like prophesying things you already know about that person. I know that sounds simple, but you're going to be tempted to do it. You will. Don't do that. Just be like, just tell them straight up. Be like, hey, I already know this about you, you know, but I feel like the Lord's saying this. Does that make sense? Okay. Always be humble and teachable. Okay. Because humility keeps us safe. God gives grace to the humble. We want to remain teachable. You will never grow. You will never get better at the prophetic ministry or any kind of ministry unless you're teachable. You will never grow. Because you've already made it, you know? And here's the other thing. You've got to receive from whomever God sends to you. And sometimes he's going to send people to you where you're going to need to operate in humility to receive from that person. That's how the kingdom works. God doesn't necessarily send the guy you like to give you a prophetic word. And he does that out of safety for your heart, because he wants you to remain humble, because you're safe in humility. You're safe when you recognize your need of him. Okay? So, like for instance, one time I remember this guy, this is a couple years ago. More than a couple years. It's probably 10 years ago. I remember, and I'll forever remember this. The Lord had been speaking to me specifically. I mean, I got this clear word from him in my time to read Isaiah 6 and just meditate, just soak on it, just read it and reread it. And so I had been doing that I didn't tell anybody this. I didn't even tell Heather this. And this guy came into one of our service, new guy. Led him to the Lord. He gave his life to the Lord, got born again. Next week, the next meeting, he comes to me. The first thing he tells me is like, Paul, I think I've got something for you. I was like, yeah, okay, sure. You know, I'll be honest. I was not being humble. Okay. I was like, man, you just got saved last week. What in the world? And he's like, Paul, I got this word for you. Isaiah chapter 6. I was like, oh my gosh. And I was just like, man, that is awesome. I encourage you. I was like, man, you're hearing God, because I've been on that chapter for like weeks. And that just goes to show you. I mean, God's going to send people. He'll send non-believers to you to give you words. Gosh, if God can speak through a donkey, he's going to send more donkeys to you, okay? I mean, he will. It's a test, actually. The Lord does it to test your heart. For your safety, not to like fail you, okay? all right, be relaxed. When you give a word, be relaxed. Don't like feel pressure to like give gifts. You know, a lot of times what I do practically, I'm just like, Lord, give me love for this person. Because when you operate in love, fear goes, anxiety goes. Now, you might be still nervous a little bit and a little fear. It might be lingering around. But when you start from that place of loving this person, of getting like God's heart for this person, you're definitely at least a little more relaxed. Because if you're real pressured and real bent up, and I got a crazy story with this, like just an example. We were me and two buddies were doing ministry just out and about, and we were talking to the Lord. We asked the Lord, like, Lord, where do you want us to go today? Who do you want us to minister to? What do you want to minister to this person? And one of my buddies said, I got that. I feel like we're supposed to go to one of the pharmacies on Gordon Road, you know, like the corner pharmacies. There's like four of them all in each corner now. And there's a guy there named Steve, and he's got nerve problems in his leg or whatever. I think we're supposed to go minister, and he's wearing khaki shorts, okay? So this guy, and he had never really kind of done this before, this kind of ministry. He was kind of new to like going out and doing stuff. So obviously he was like a little nervous. And it's totally natural and it's okay. God's not upset if you're nervous about it, or he's pleased by you stepping out in faith. And we go to, I think it was the Walgreens or something. We go in, we're looking everywhere for people wearing khaki shorts, some guy named Steve. We didn't see anybody. And so I just started going up to the men. I was like, hey, is your name Steve? Your name? And no one was Steve. So we're like, okay, that's one down. We've got three more to go, or however many are out there. We went to the one across the street. I think it was a CVS. And right when we walk in the door, there's this dude walking out with khaki shorts on. And my friend's like, oh my gosh. I was like, well, go talk to him, you know? And he's real nervous, okay? And he's like, hey, man, is your name Steve? And the guy's like, yeah, what? And the guy, and that freaked him out even more. He's like, oh my gosh. And he just blurted out this whole thing of like, God told us to come here and I'm sending you to give you a word, and you're a guy, you're Steve, and you got khaki shorts. I'm not kidding you. Me and my other friend was like, oh my gosh, relax, man. You're freaking this dude out. He was freaked out. He was just kind of like, no. He's like, do you have anything going on with your legs? You got nerves, something? And the guy's like, no, I don't. And he's like, he just wanted to get out of there. and then my other friend was kind of like, well, hey, man, can we just pray for you? He was just real relaxed. He was real chill. He's like, we've been doing this for a while. And after a while, it does get a little bit easier, you know. And he's like, hey, man, can we just pray for you? And, you know, everybody needs prayer, you know, or something like that. And the guy's like, oh, okay. We're standing in the entrance inside of the CVS. Everybody's like looking at us funny because my friend's like freaking out. And so like we just began to pray for the guy. And we started getting words. We just asking the Lord, Lord, give us some words for this guy, you know. And my friend, he finally relaxed, and he got this awesome word for this guy about his marriage and all this other stuff. Ended up the guy was there for his honeymoon, and then I got this word about training. I think I shared this before. He's going into training. The Lord's with him. He's like, yeah, next week I'm going into training at Liberty University. I got a job there. And then all of a sudden his heart just opened up, and he's like, you know what? I do have restless leg syndrome. It messes with me at night, every night. And we were all just kind of like, whoa, cool. You know? So we were like, hey, well, can we pray for you? And the guy's like, yeah. Come on, pray. Cause he's like, how do you guys know all this stuff? You know? And so we just, right in the middle of CVS, everybody's looking at us. We didn't care. I mean, at that point, you don't care, you know? And the guy, we just prayed for the guy and just prayed for his legs. And he thanked us. And he was like, wow, man, this is like the awesome wedding gift. You know, he was just like so encouraged. But it started out really bad. We were at the point where we were kind of wounding the guy a little bit of like, oh, here's some weird Christians. They're going to give us some words, you know, and freak us out, you know? But no, but it ended up when we ministered from a place of love, when we ministered from a place of peace and not pressure, man, it really blessed this guy. That guy will probably remember that for the rest of his life. I will, you know what I mean? And then like, I can like, when the enemy's beating me up, I'll be like, man, see, you don't hear from God. I'll just be like, no, I hear from God. I remember, I'll be like, don't you remember CVS, you idiot? You were there. You saw what was going on. We were destroying the works of your kingdom. All right. So, all right, we got to wrap this thing up. Sorry, guys. Fill yourself with scriptures. Okay, read the word. Read, first and foremost, read about hearing God's voice, because the enemy doesn't want you to hear his voice, and we battle that. You don't hear God. Who do you think you are? We battle that with scripture. Remember, who remembers the scripture? Breaker, breaker, good buddy. Who remembers scripture? I know it's cheesy, but this is how I remember it. Anybody remember it? 10:4. 10:4, good buddy. John 10:4. You are a sheep. You know his voice. Period. It's a law. If you are born again, you hear his voice. All right. Recognizing his voice is the key. All right. So let's move on here. So, and a lot of you guys have actually talked to us about this, of like, what do you do when you actually get a word? Okay. We talk about like giving words a lot of times, but what do you actually do when you get a word? Okay. First and foremost, 1 Thessalonians 5:19-22. You guys can turn to it if you want. It says, do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Okay? So scripture is telling us, test the prophecies that you're given. If you're given a prophetic word, it's your responsibility to test them, to bring them before the Lord. Now, how do you practically test them? Okay? Do you just kind of say, like, have a checklist and kind of go through? Yeah, check, check. No, that's not from the Lord. No, we like, it's all in your dialogue. We've been talking about the dialogue with the Lord through this whole kind of teaching series. You bring it before the Lord. And you bring it before the Word of God. Number one, if the prophetic word does not line up with the Word of God, flush it, okay? I don't care if there's even a little bit of teeny tiny bit of accuracy in it, just flush it, move on, okay? That's number one, okay? Number two, bring it to the Lord in prayer, in your dialogue, ask the Lord. He'll give you peace about it. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ be the controlling factor in your hearts, all right? So if you don't have peace about this prophetic word that you've received, flush it, okay? I give you permission, flush. Number three, let's continue a little bit on that. If you do have peace about it, then talk to the Lord about it. Ask him about it. Ask him to like open it up. Sometimes you'll get a prophetic word from somebody and it's right on, it's the Lord, and you get your time with the Lord and your prayer time, and you just ask the Lord about it, and he'll just unpackage it. You'll get scriptures with it. You'll have memories of things. I mean, pray about it. Because the prophetic word is not the end all. It's not like the end of the road. The prophetic word is actually supposed to inspire you and to initiate relationship. Okay? When you get a prophetic word for somebody, it's supposed to encourage. God's heart behind it is for them to get engaged with him. Okay? All right, number three. Is it something the Lord has already shared with you personally? Is it a confirmation? We talk about that a lot of times. Is this a confirmation? Oh, I confirmed that. I've had that word before. That's the Lord. All right. Well, if you're getting that word over and over again, you better do something with it. many times you're going to get a lot of words that are confirming something God's already been speaking to you. Remember the guy who just got saved, Isaiah 6? I mean, gosh. I remember one time. And thank you, Lord, for this, because sometimes we need confirming words. I remember when I was a pre-vet major, I was halfway through my biology chemistry, or a quarter way through my chemistry, but I was halfway through my biology, and the Lord kind of like completely steered me off in a different direction. It was telling me to do music, you know, to lead worship, all this blah, blah, blah. And I was like, really, God? I can't get a job with a music degree. What in the world? And I was so stuck. I was stubborn with it, okay? But he kept speaking to me about it. And, you know, I was leading worship and college campuses and stuff like that and seeing the Lord do stuff, but I still wasn't convinced. And but then I finally came to this point where I just lost all interest in biology and chemistry and pre-vet stuff. And And so I was like, all right, Lord, I'm going to do it. Even people were telling me, well, you're crazy, man. What are you doing? You're halfway through. Finish your biology first, you know. And I was like, no, the Lord, this is the Lord. So I did it, but I was still super nervous about it. I was still kind of like, Lord, is this really you? This is so dumb. My brain's saying this is so dumb. And then I went to this meeting, and I was kind of new to like the prophetic or whatever. But my sister's like, hey, come to this meeting or whatever. This guy, some prophet guy is going to be there and he's going to be talking about stuff. So I was like, okay, cool. You know, so I went and like, it was Bobby Connor. I didn't know who he was at that time, but Bobby Connor like pointed me out while in the middle of his thing. He's just like doing his deal. You know, if you ever seen Bobby Connor, just kind of tell stories. And all of a sudden he just kind of like looked at me and pointed at me, told me to stand up and just start prophesying. You're going into music. You're going to be doing this. So I had just changed my major to music. It was so awesome. It was like the Lord knew I was not operating in complete faith. You know what I mean? And that's okay. That showed the heart of God to me, at least, that like, he's not like worried if you're not, oh, it's the Lord, I'm running after God. And you know, I have faith in you, God. He's okay with our doubt. And in his grace for me to be like, hey, Bobby, you know, tell my friend over here that he's doing the right thing. That was awesome. So prophetic words, a lot of times we'll be confirming, all right? All right, number four, God's giving them to you to fight with them. So if you go through them and you know it's from the Lord, man, write them down, put them in a journal, keep them like together, fight with these words. 1 Timothy 1:18 says, Timothy, my son, I am giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well. Okay, and another translation says that so that inspired and aided by the prophetic words, you may wage the good warfare, okay? Because when you're moving in what God's called you to do, when you're stepping out in faith in what God's called you to do, the enemy is going to come and he's going to say, did God really say that? Sometimes he's just going to plainly say, just like, who do you think you are? God didn't say that. You just made all this stuff up. And then you take that prophetic word and be like, shut up, idiot. This is what God said. And you fight with them. I don't care what I see in the natural. This is what God said. Fight with them. They're awesome, powerful words, weapons for you to walk in. All right. Let's wrap this thing up. Do's and don'ts. Okay, now this, we go through this for this purpose, for loving people. We want to prophesy out of love. We want people to be able to grow. And we prophesy, we don't know where everybody's at in their walk with the Lord. When you're giving a word to somebody, they might not even be a believer. But we prophesy, we have these do's and don'ts out of love for them. Now, if you have a relationship with them and you know them well and you know where they're at with the Lord, then you can kind of like switch this up a little bit. But seriously, if you got questions about this, talk to Travis, talk to Josh, talk to me about it. I mean, we'll tell you, like, I wouldn't necessarily share that with a person. Or be like, yeah, go for it, man. That's right on, you know, or whatever. So here we go. Do's and don'ts. Do nots. Do not be discouraging or condemning. Do not prophesy things that are negative. Always speak positive. Do not pressure anyone to receive the words that you are giving. Do not prophesy that anyone should move here or be part of Morningstar. The reason why these are here, because people do this, okay? Do not prophesy that anyone should give money to Morningstar. Oh my gosh, I see that on TV. Don't do that, okay? Do not prophesy marriages or engagements. Do not prophesy pregnancies or the gender of the unborn child. Do not get involved in counseling while ministering on prophetic teams. That's when we actually have prophetic teams up here. It's different and like more relational. Like I said, this is kind of generally speaking here, okay? Avoid praying the words that you have. Just give them. Do not say, thus saith the Lord. All right. So here are the do's. Do be encouraging. Do impart hope. Have fun. Don't feel pressured. Have fun. Do minister in love. If you're not ministering in love, don't give the word. Just don't do it. Because it disqualifies you really from giving that word if you're not operating in love. Do step out in faith. Okay. So like I said, these are all kind of like general. Now there's sometimes, you know, we've talked about this, about sometimes the Lord's going to give you stuff that isn't maybe totally encouraging, you know, for that person. But sometimes that's best done. Maybe you share it with a pastor first, or maybe if you have a good relationship with that person, you can do it in that context. Because relationship really helps when you're giving someone. Because sometimes God's going to give you something that's not necessarily encouraging on the outside, but he always has an encouraging rebuttal. Does that make sense? All right.